Beitzim in Shemem Zion, and we're holding at the end of Mishaburus of Katan Zion, the final line over there. So this is a totally different topic. So we still talked about this issue of Lifnei Iver Misayeyo. Derech Eretz Lerma La'odim Sharizik B'Malacha Titzlach Malach Tucha. Derech Eretz to give a person a bracha when you see him working. You should be successful. I feel the over gilulim, and this applies even to a non-Jew. So we were talking about the idea of being meseyeya to an iser. So we said, well, giving emotional support is a form of being meseyeya. So you don't tell that to a person who's doing an aveira. You're not supposed to give emotional support to that either. Now the chiddush over here is even to a goy that you say that. So the Mor says that you're giving a bracha, and there is a issue of giving a bracha to a goy b'chinam. Say if it's a neighbor where you expect to get benefit back and forth, that's not called b'chinam. You don't give him a matnas chinam, that includes a bracha. There's a shach that the shach says when a person's benching and he's sitting with goyim amongst him as well. So we say, Ken Yavarchasanu Klono Yachad, Bivrocha Shleim Avener Maramein. You're saying a bracha for all of us sitting there, including the Goyim. So that's the problem of Loisichonim. He says, you should say, Ken Yavarchasanu B'nei Bris, Klono Yachad. You're only saying the Klono Yachad for the B'nei Bris, the people which are the Yidden, which are there. So the Chiddush over here is, because of Darchei Shalom, you give a bracha to a Goy as well. So the union of giving the bracha, you see a Goy doing work, you tell him, Titzlach B'malach Tucho, and that is appropriate to do that. Sivkot Nches. Okay, so that's like, it's like somewhat, I mean, the logic behind the flow, why it's here, is because we were saying the idea of helping a person doing something in a veira. So we say, and normally you should give a bracha and emotional support to a person who's doing malacha, but not if he's doing an aveira. Okay. You know, there's a Sharatzin over here that I want to look at for a second. Okay, so this Issa Darbonon Kol Maseyeya, he said there's an Issa Darbonon, so the source of it is a rush.
For me, how do you translate Maseyeya?
Maseyeya is helping.
To help.
Okay. So the rush has an Issa Darbonon. So you look at the Sharatzin in Ches. Well, Chara, Ma Shekosab Darbonon, at first glance, seems to be Slav Dafkahu. It's not only the Rabbanon. Why? If you madisim b'brachas, daf your test. There's a Gemara in brachas. It says, "Haroyach lechaver shehu lovish klayim." Reuven's walking down the street, and he's very familiar with materials, and he sees that Shimon is wearing a garment which is shatnas. Skipping the brackets, the tzarach leivshad afila b'shuk. So there's a mitzvah on Reuven to go over to Shimon and to remove the garment. It's not a din d'rabbanan. That's part of the chiyuv that a person has to prevent the veiras. So something similar. Similarly over here, I have a chiyuv to stop him from doing an aveira. To stop people from doing aveiras on a Torah level. So what do you mean? If I offer it to him, he can do it himself. It's not lifnei iver. But instead of stopping him, which is a chiyuv deraisa, I'm helping him. That's only lifnei iver. What do you mean? There's a chiyuv deraisa to stop him. So it doesn't make any sense. Mehid alav lifnei iver lo shayach b'zeh kim yocholoni litla miat be'atzmoit. The only can get it himself. So it's not a deraisa of lifnei iver. Hakapodim v'loy minatarim mekuyiv l'monar miyisura. I have a chiyuv to stop him minatarim. I have a chiyuv to stop people from doing aveiras. So what's pshat? Menira liyashiv. The hechar minan linyan kilayim, the mechuyev lamana, that which I have a chiyev to intervene and to prevent the person from continuing to do the aveira of kilayim, of shatnes, hechar sheyesh b'yadu lamanoi, ayinei pshita b'chei gav. If by me removing it, so it's done, he won't do the aveira anymore. Aval b'ein b'yadu lamanoi, les b'zechiyev minatara. Okay, so if I'm not able to stop him, then I don't have to get involved. I don't have to get involved. Well, how come I'm being a yochel lemonoi milital? If it's only a case where I can't stop him, k'mash v'lo naharosh tafilo hachi is the rabbanon yesh heichashul lekech miyadoi shul b'chlam asiyeli deyavrever. So that's how you would suggest pshat on the rush. Ben echanami in a situation where if I would intervene and tell him not to do it, he would not do it. I have a chiyuv on a Torah level to do that. Now, b'schiyev and a Torah level to do that, there really are two reasons why that's true. One is the mitzvah techacha. Mitzvah techacha is mechayev me to get involved and prevent you from doing aveiros. That's what techacha is.
Does that mean physically stop them or just verbally?
The Mora says, in this situation, the Mora is mashal that you would physically intervene. The Mora says a story that there was a woman walking, wearing a garment which was inappropriate. Was very bright red and calling attention to herself. She had many garments on, so it was an issue of taking off. The Mora says that one of the Meroyim, Rav Yehuda, got involved and he pulled the garment off of her because it was so inappropriate that a Jewish woman should walk around like that. It turned out that she wasn't Jewish. She was a Roman and she made him pay for it. Yehuda says, maybe if I would have been a little more thought out before I did it, maybe, but you see even more that was Masha, he would actually intervene in a physical sense. The second issue is Mecha. In other words, besides the issue of Techacha, there's an issue of Mecha, which the Ben Yoyna, when he talks about it, talks about, there's an Issa Torah of Chanifa. Chanifa is condoning inappropriate behavior.
Isn't that like flattery?
So notice I did not translate it like that.
Oh.
I translated it's condoning inappropriate behavior. Now flattery is a form of, is obviously a very significant form of condoning inappropriate behavior to the point that I'm flattering you. Right? I mean, the Mor says to flatter a rebbe, you should teach your Torah's mutter because say, you're such a big tamachacha, which is true. That's not a problem. The problem is that it's not true, and the guy's a rosha and he's doing a very and say, oh, you're such a tzaddik, I want to have a chance to do. Why am I saying? Because the guy's a rich guy. And I want to get a good favor with him, you know. But meanwhile, you're condoning a very. So the ikar root of the Isser, the Ben Gurion says, is actually condoning the inappropriate actions. So he says, and that's what's machayev the din of machah. I mean, even if I think feel the person will not listen. But it should not be construed by the people around that I'm agreeing to what he's doing. That's also a problem of Chanifa. So there is, we don't normally think of, people ask like this issue, and I say, oh, the people start yelling Shabbos, right? They're not going to change the drivers by yelling Shabbos. There's no techacha in that situation. That's not a kimo techacha. Techacha, the purpose of techacha is to prevent, is in some way change and stop the aveira. That's what Mishnah was saying. If it's where that's not going to be effective, either because whatever the reason is, you don't have the way to communicate it. Whatever it is, it's not going to work. There's no mitzvah techach anymore. There still is an issue of macha. It should not be construed that I'm accepting this, that I'm okay with this fact that there's an aver being done. So that would be goes in the realm of the Ben Yonah says. So there's both of those are losachanifos aoritzes of the raisa. The Ben Yonah lists many different types of chanifas, different levels of chanifas, 9 levels of chanifas. Some of them are clearly not deraisas. We're used to jump from the deraisas to the drabanans, hanhaga taivas situation. That I'm not clear about. Okay. Yes.
This seems, this contrast to the previous Mishnah Berurah. He was very emphatic about giving tacha and disapproving. And then the previous Mishnah Berurah, he says, don't give a bracha.
Kabbal Karmic, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good point. I mean, so what will be the situation where I know my techacha is going to be ineffective, and it's not going to be construed that I'm agreeable to it. I just want to say, Tislach b'malach. Yeah, that's what you'd have to work out the case. But it's a good question. I'm not sure. Okay. So now the Shulchan Aruch said in the following situation. So the person, again, our scenario, Reuven's inside, Shimon's outside. So Reuven was inside, took the item from inside, reached outwards and put it into Shimon's hand. Or alternatively, the item was in Shimon's hand, Reuven reached his hand outwards, took it from Shimon's hand and brought it inside. See, in those cases, either of those cases, Reuven did the whole malacha, and Reuven is chayiv, and the Shimon who's standing outside has his Israel and say, yeah, and that's it. So the first scenario, which we gave two scenarios. Reuven, the person inside, is doing the whole malacha. Scenario one is that he's taking it from inside, reaching outwards, putting the item into Shimon's hand. So Reuven did the whole thing. Scenario number two is Reuven takes his empty hand, reaches it outside, takes the item from Shimon's hand and brings it inside. But now he's going to the first case. The first case is going from inside out. So vis-a-vis the person himself, we say putting it, the item in the person's hand is like putting it vis-a-vis him, it's like it's on the ground. But what about somebody else that puts it on Shimon's hand, which is being held above 10? Is that considered like he put it on the ground? Or that's like considered like put it like a Malam Yisar? So this is the machlokes. How we deal with somebody else looking at Shimon's status, as opposed to Shimon himself, we say the item Shimon has, as far as Shimon's concerned, like it's on the ground. So the same rishus, etc. But not necessarily as regards to Reuven, where Reuven put it. Okay. Azarik Menekar Mimkarmai Mikiblai. So first scenario, he gave a few scenarios. Reuven threw an item from inside, and where Shimon was standing, it would not have landed on Shimon. Shimon runs over and stands underneath the item, and now it lands on Shimon. So Reuven did the whole malacha. He was accurate from one rishus and he landed at the second rishus, but without Shimon's action it would have landed on the ground. Now it's landing on Shimon. So Reuven was not the one who arranged for it to land on Shimon, but Shimon didn't do anything because Shimon wasn't makabel, it just landed on Shimon. So Reuven did the malacha, but not where he wanted it to be, or not where he planned it to be. So shnei patur. Rishon mishum lo yisavet hanocha mikaychay. Shasheni chatofen be'em zalichase. It didn't really land because of Reuven, because Shimon's, it would have landed on the ground, and now by Shimon becoming there, it ended up landing on Shimon. So it's not where Reuven was placing it. Rashani mishum lo yosav rak hanocha. And at most, Shimon did the hanocha then. Now, what about Imrod Su'atma Mekiblai? Reuven throws it, and he threw it at a soft lob, and he runs outside, and he comes underneath it, and he catches it. So Reuven did the Kira, Reuven did the Hanacha. But Mitzad the Kira, this is not where the Hanacha was supposed to be. Okay, raise a suffix in Chayev. After also Gam Hanacha Be'atzma. So what's the problem? Reuven did the Kira, Reuven did the Hanacha. Reuven was on the through it, Reuven was on the caught it. Right? So what's the suffix? After Shein Hanacha, but maybe this Hanacha, which he did, Gemura Achinuach B'makam Shai Lenuach B'Shas Akira. Maybe the bona fide Hanacha, which the person's Chayev for, is when in this type of situation, where a person's walking, it's not really defined very clearly, but a person throws it, the Akira defines where the Hanacha is going to be, and now it ends up somewhere else. Even though Reuven was one who did it, maybe that's not about that, as it were, sort of severs the relationship between that the Akira and the Hanacha. Okay, so throws from one Rishus Rabban to the other through a narrow Rishus Yachid. Rishus Yachid, Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabban, or he throws across the street, throws from his house across Rishus Rabban into the house across the street. So Lach is, in all those cases, Lach is Potter.
One of the things. didn't he?
The door
to
the kitchen.
If he crossed the Rosh Hashanah, didn't he, by definition, also be over in Havara?
Not just
Rosh Hashanah 16 Amos. Or is this some sort of a corner case? In a
no, no, no. He was. Well, you're right. But the Kir was in Rosh Hashanah, and the Nach was in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
so the case of Havara is the Kira, the Havara and the Nach are all done in Rosh Hashanah. Over here, because it was done in different in Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, he's not Chayv. There is a number that the Gemara which holds Chayv, but we don't pass it like that. Now, Vim Holach Achavish Te'amas Rosh Hashanah Zeh. So the first scenario, there's Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. He starts out Rosh Hashanah, number one, carries it two Amos through Rosh Hashanah into the second Rosh Hashanah. Carries the two Amos and puts it down. So he did a care for Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. He carried four Amos of Rosh Hashanah. He carried it through Rosh Hashanah in the middle. He didn't stop there. So what's the law? So the raise a chayiv shavishuyus means starfish. So we don't say that there is one act of carrying two amas in Rosh Hashanah in X, one act of carrying two amas in Rosh Hashanah in Y, and he's not chayiv for either. Then we say no, he carried four amas in Rosh Hashanah. The fact that Rosh Hashanah is in the middle doesn't break up that. Now there's actually three opinions in the Gemara. One says that Rosh Hashanah would interrupt. But a caramelist doesn't interrupt. Because a caramelist meteorites is nothing. So it's like a mukkah, but a Rosh Hashanah, because of its chashiv, it's a different rishus. So it does interrupt. One opinion says that a Rosh Hashanah doesn't interrupt, and that Rosh Hashanah interrupts, and a caramelist interrupts, but there's something which is really just a luckily a mukkah, but Torah doesn't interrupt. Okay, Al Kaponim. But we don't pass that. We pass and that none of these things interrupt. That he's chayv. Hamoshe Rosh Hashayachid, Rosh Hashayachid, Derech Rosh Hashanah. But Yuta Echad. So now, a person passes from one Rosh Hashayachid to the other, not throwing it, which is the case before. But he passes it from one Rosh Hashayachid to the other. So that's called Moshe. So there's two scenarios which we're going to give. One is that he's being Moshe. From two Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which are on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So let's say, for argument's sake, that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is running north-south. So you have some buildings on the south side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. They're tall buildings, and they have a porch sticking out. They have multiple porches sticking out. So each porch that's sticking out is part of the apartment inside. They're distinct, separate Rosh Hashanah Yachids. He passes an item from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to the next through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. One of the porches are pretty low, they're within 10 tefachim on the ground. He passes it from one to the other. That's one scenario. So they're both on the same side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. They're running parallel with the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he passes from one to the other. Another scenario is he passes across the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim from one side of the road to the other. He doesn't throw, he passes it. It's a long item. And he passes it from one side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the other. So that's called. The same side is called Bidiyuta Echad. It's in one flow. Across the street is called Shtei Diyuta. It's running basically perpendicular to the Shul Rabbim, not parallel to the Shul Rabbim. That's called Shtei Diyutas.
And the area in between those, like in the first case, Bidiyuta Echad is the Shul Rabbim, but it's.
So now, I gave you. So, if this is the road. Here's the building. So there's a merpeset over here and a merpeset over here, and he passes one merpeset to the other. So if it's within 10 tefachim on the ground, I understand your mom is passing from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid through a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the Yuta Achas, I mean, in one flow of the, you know, and parallel to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What about a scenario? So that's Chayv. What about a scenario where the merpesot are much higher? So really, what's between the two? It's above Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but it's really he's passing it through a Makom Patur. So halacha is also chayiv. So this halacha that Moshe b'diyut d'achas is chayiv is learned from the Mishkan that they would pass the krushim the way they would load the agolas. They would put four agolas. They put two in front and two in back. And they would load the Mishkan from behind the back one. They would pass it onto the back one, and from the back one to the front one. That was the standard way that they would load the golos. So you were having a situation, the golos were high enough to be Rishus HaYachid. So you're passing from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, above Rishus HaRabim, and not within 10 Tvachim. And still the more says, we learn from that case, that person's Chayim. So that's part of the Lacha Moshe B'Sinai of this din of Moshe B'Diyu Te'achas. Moshe B'Diyu Te'achas, Rishus HaRachat, Derech Rishus HaRabim, B'Diyu Te'achat, Ratzal Emer, Shnei Rishus HaYachin, Oimdim, B'Sarechot, La'er, Rishus HaRabim, Mapsik, Bein Shnei, Rishus HaYachin. They're both running along the length of the Rishus HaRabim, but there's a gap in between, where the Rishus HaRabim is beneath it. I feel that Lamalameh Sora Shumakim Patur, even though the two Rishus HaYachim, which are sticking out, the two porches are above Ten Tvachim. A Chayiv. Still Chayiv. Rishnei Deyutais. If it's in two paths, as it were, but the Hainu Shnei Rishus HaYachim, they are on the two sides across the street from each other, across the Rishus HaRabim, is Pater. And that's true even if it's going passing through Rishus HaRabim below 10th Vachim, still Pater. Ayin Shom Gemur HaTam, the more it discusses why that's true. Okay, new case. Pashat Yadoi Lifnim, Rotom Mayim Meal Guma, Vatsia Luchutz. So there's a Guma, which has water in it, and which is inside. So it's in Rishus HaYachid. He reaches in, takes the water, and brings it outside. Sky. So what's the issue over here? The issue, he took the water from the top of this well, whatever it is, let's say, right? So that water is not really stationary, it's floating on top of the water. So it's not munach. So it's not munach, it's not a tzor. There's no akira. So how can we chayiv? So that's the chiddush over here. Not the mayim me'al aguma, v'tzil l'chus es chayiv, shamayim kiguf echod, hein u'munach en al arts. We look at all of the water is being placed on the ground. So it's called munach. The whole, all of the water functions as one unit, and the whole unit is sitting on the ground. Now I took off some of that, so I'm taking something from it, which is a munach.
So that would be true for a pile of anything else, a pile of apples?
Well, let's see. Shkalech mehen ma'at, kemosh oikr min akarka. I mean, not the peris, oishemen me'al gabi yamayim. If you had peris which are floating on top of the water, or you have oil which is floating on top of the water, the situation is potter. The floating on top of water, which clearly is distinct. So the point of the water is not because the water top is floating on the water on the bottom. That's called munach. The water is actually floating, which is not really munach. But the answer is we don't look at just the top water. We look at the whole thing as one big unit, and the water is on the ground. But over here, we have to look at the distinct thing on top as being separate, and it's not munach. So it's not going to be chayav. Now, but...
So my question is, I have a pile of Paris on the ground, so they look at the pre on top and say, that's not munach on the karka, it's only munach on the pre, and that's not called anocha?
No, that's called anocha.
It's called anocha, it's the same as the mayim, basically.
Right. So you see that, well, either because it's the same in the mayim, or because you say that Paris are, say, pretty much water by nature, the nature of water as it moves around, and it's not really a makam of hanocha. It's normal to pile pears on top of pears. Mm. That is a makam of anocha. Mm. So if they're not considered munach when they're on top of the water, it's not called akir when you take it off of the water. Okay. So what was the next scenario? The next scenario, what time is it? I've got time. Okay.
They don't start this way.
But
it's hooked up, the same case, right?
Yeah, so now the scenario over here is we're having the person inside doing the whole halacha.
What time is Minka Kofar?
05.
Oh, it's 05. Oh.
So Reuben's standing inside, Shimon's standing outside. Shimon outside has something sitting in his hand. Reuben reaches out, takes it from Shimon's hand, and brings it inside. Shinoto. So we say that the Omer Bifnim is Chayiv, he did the whole thing, and the Omer Bichutz is part of a loss. So to Mishabura, what about a situation where it wasn't Reuven inside, it was Bab inside, Bab the Goy did it. So Shimon standing outside, holding the Chavitz, Bab the Goy takes it out of Shimon's hand and brings it inside. So did he do anything wrong? The answer is because he's been misguided to do an Aveira. It's not an Aveira for Bab. There goes into the issue of there's a maris ayin and a mir lahakum. I mean, it looks like Shimon is like sort of like offering and it's sort of like asking Bab to reach out and take it. So when the goy does the malacha, it looks like he's doing it the Yisrael. So even if that wasn't Shimon's intent, but Shimon should not be doing this, because people will see it, will see the item sitting on Shimon's hands, being taken by the goy, being brought inside. And they're going to interpret it that the Shimon did a miralaku, or that the goy is doing the Shem of the Yisrael, which is awesome.
Shiyom Shehu Nosema. Or is it that they're going to say that he actually did the? He actually gave. They're not going to see it, right? I don't know how to read that. They're going to say Shim handed it to him.
Well, I think it means the fact that he has it in his hands. That's the clue that he's.
Oh, I see. I'm not slachless, and therefore he's
sort of like asking him to take it inside.
It's like a nonverbal in the room.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Should we tackle this? Yeah, we'll start it. So now, we mentioned the scenario last week. If the person stuck his hand out where he shouldn't have, so we give him a kanas to make him keep his hand there. Hoya oimed b'rishas ha'yachid v'hoitzi yod v'malei ha'peiris v'shas ha'rabim. The person was standing inside b'rishas ha'yachid and he put his hand outside. B'shach ha'soro. So he's within the Rishas HaRabim. It's not in the Malkum Tor. He took some of the Rishas HaYachid in the Rishas HaRabim. He didn't do Anacha yet, because it's still in his hand. But it's in Rishas HaRabim. It's below 10, so it's called it in the Rishas HaRabim. So B'shoigeg Mutalach Zira Lo Yisachotzer V'asa Lo Shita L'chotzer Acheres. So if a person did a B'shoigeg, he forgot about Shabbos. So we say, bring your hand back in. That's mutter. So you know, while I have it already, I just want to throw it to the chutzner across the street. That you can't do. V'im b'mezit, if the person knowingly that was Shabbos and that it's also intentionally stuck his hand out with intent to put it down, and then he changed his mind, but the act was b'mezit, he gets a knas. Feel the lachzir lois the chutzner. Also, he can't bring it back inside.
I mean, he's stuck there?
He leaves his hand there the rest of the Shabbos.
That's like the tree.
Okay. Now, V'yesharim comes along, a sheet is like this. You know, we're playing with fire over here, because he started out Rosh Hashanah. He wants to take it to Rosh Hashanah. It is in Rosh Hashanah. Just the only thing between him and he of Skila is his hand holding on to the item. So say, keep it there for the next 24 hours, next 20 hours till the end of Shabbos, 18 hours to the end of Shabbos, he's going to drop the item eventually. Mm-hmm. Well, now he did a Kiran and Hanukkah on Shabbos. So it's very nice, you want to give him a kanas, but meanwhile we're making him be our Rebbe of the rice.
Wait a minute, isn't he an anus if he falls asleep and falls?
Well, if he falls asleep, it probably is an anus. Right? Sometimes people don't necessarily fall asleep, but they just can't hold on anymore. That's not really an anus.
No?
Because he generated the whole situation.
Mm. Mm.
So the halacha is, V'yesharim, the honey meal, and kishoy tziyah mibayoy. This halacha, we give him a kanas to keep your hand there, is he put it out before Shabbos. Before Shabbos, he's in Mishas Liyachin. Mishas Rabbim, he sticks his hand out with intent to put it there, to drop it there on Shabbos. He says, no, that wasn't nice of you. You don't do hanochas on Shabbos. You know what? Keep your hand there. Worst comes to worst, he drops it. Not on a very derisive. Mm-hmm. He did the kira in Arab Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But if he did the hakira on Shabbos, so now we're playing with potential danger, derisive, the iser, mutlachzir, he can bring it back in. Afraid he's going to drop, decide, I can't do it anymore, and decide to let go. Well, that's a halacha that he's doing by letting go. And that's, chiyav katas is being gentle over here.
Well,
He's chayiv skila.
There will be chared. I mean, if there no, there's no hasrad, then.
Right. See, he won't get chorus, yeah. Just gets chorus. This kanas only applies we're dealing with a potential. It's a deraisa. They made the kanas. Okay, it's halted here.